بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through Surah al-Fatiha and the rulings relating to Surah al-Fatiha, and also At-Ta'meen, i.e. saying Ameen, and also the legislation of reciting another surah after Surah Al-Fatiha in the Salah. And in this lesson, we come to Tasbihat Al-Ruku', i.e. the Tasbihat which are made during the Ruku'. First of all, Takbiratul Intiqal. As we mentioned previously, there are two types of Takbirat in the Salah. There are two types of Takbirat in the Salah. What are they? Now, what are the two types of takbirat in the salah, Dawood? Takbirat al-tahrim, or takbirat al-ihram, or at-takbirat tahrimiyya, and takbirat al-intiqal. Takbirat al-tahrim, this is the first takbir that a person makes. When you begin the prayer, when you initiate the prayer, saying Allahu Akbar. And takbirat al-intiqal, they are all the other statements of takbir that you make throughout the salah. When you're standing and going down and between the sujood, these are called takbiratul intiqal. And the meaning of intiqal is movement. This is the meaning of intiqal. Noon, qaf and lam, naqala, it means to move. Intaqala means to move yourself. And these takbirat are called takbiratul intiqal because by these takbirat you move from one position in the salah to another position in the salah. When we say takbirat, takbiratul tahrim or takbiratul intiqal, we are talking about the statement Allahu Akbar. We're not talking about the movement of the hands. So when we say takbiratul ihram or takbiratul tahrim is a rukn, it's a pillar from the pillars of the salah, meaning the statement Allahu Akbar. And also the takbirat. As for the raising of the hands, then Jamhurul Ulama, the majority of the Ulama, they say that it is from the Sunan, meaning it is from the recommended actions. So if a person said Allahu Akbar to initiate the prayer, but he didn't raise his hands, his salah is still valid and complete, and he does not have to do sujood as-sahu. Naam. And Takbiratul Ihram, the first takbir is from the Arkan. It's a rukn, it's a pillar. Takbiratul Intiqal are from the wajibat. And the difference between the arkan and the wajibat is that the rukn, if a person leaves it out intentionally or forgetfully, then the rak'ah which he prayed is not valid. And so he has to pray another rak'ah in its place. And as for the wajibat, if a person leaves one of the wajibat out intentionally, then the salah is invalid. If a person leaves one of the wajibat out of forgetfulness, unintentionally, then the prayer is still correct. However, he has to do sujoodu sahu at the end. So sujoodu sahu, it isn't done if a person leaves off one of the arkan. It isn't done if a person leaves out one of the sunan. It is done if a person leaves out one of the wajibat. And then he remembers at the end, he leaves it out forgetfully, and therefore he has to make sujood as-sahu. So, takbiratul intiqal. If a person missed it intentionally, he left it out intentionally, the rak'ah in which he missed it out, it is invalid. So he has to pray another rak'ah. If a person left one of the takbiratul intiqal unintentionally, then the salah is still valid. However, if he remembers at the end, then he makes sujoodu sahu, and this covers the deficiency in his salah. And a person raises his hands while saying Allahu Akbar. So he doesn't proceed saying Allahu Akbar, neither does he delay it too much, but he does it along with making a takbir. And then we come to tasbih al-ruku. And the meaning of tasbih al-ruku is the various statements of tasbih, i.e. subhanallah, which we make in the ruku. And we have with us five different types of tasbihat that a person can make during the ruku. The ruku, Allah has made it for a tasbih. And the ulama, they say that it is disliked for a person to make any dua in the ruku. And this is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ الرَّبُّ. In the ruku', then make ta'azim of Allah, meaning exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through at-tasbih. وَأَمَّا السُّجُودُ فَإِنَّهُ لِلدُّعَى فَاجْتَهِدُوا. Then it is to make dua. So make a lot of dua in the sujood. قَمِنٌ أَن يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Because it will be accepted. So from this hadith, the ulama, they make the ruling that saying dua in the ruku', this is makruh. Because the ruku' is only there to make tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the sujood, then a person can make any dua that he or she wants. He said, فَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُوا الرَّبُّ. As for the ruku', then make ta'zim of Allah. وَأَمَّا السُّجُودُ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِيهِ بِالدُّعَى. As for the sujood, then strive to make dua in it. فَقَامِنٌ أَن يُسَّجَابُ لَهُ in Sahih Muslim. So the first tasbih that we come to is saying Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. The statement Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, this is also from the wajibat. However, the wajib is to say it once. So a person has to say Subhana Rabbiyal Azim at least once. And saying it three times, the ulama, they say this is adna al-kamal. This is the minimum level of perfection. And saying it more than three times, in odd units, it is more complete and more perfect. So saying it once is wajib. Saying it three times is adna al-kamal, the minimum level of perfection. And then saying it more than this, it is recommended and more rewarding. And for this reason, when we were all younger, we were taught to say Subhana Rabbiyal Azim three times, because this is the minimum level of perfection. But if a person only said Subhana Rabbiyal Azim once, then his salah, it is accepted. And this phrase of tasbih, it contains three words: Subhana, Rabbi, and Al-Azim. The meaning of Subhana is you are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are glorifying Allah above any weakness or deficiency or imperfection. So the meaning of Subhanallah or Subhan Rabbi, it is Tanzihullah an kulli naqsin wa aib. That you are glorifying Allah above any naqs, deficiency, wa aib, and any type of imperfection. This is the meaning of Subhanallah. Tanzihullah an kulli naqsin wa aib. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen mentions, to glorify Allah above any deficiency and imperfection. The deficiencies and the imperfections from which you free Allah from are three types. First, an-naqs al-mutlaq, absolute deficiency. So for example, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Slumber, tiredness and sleep does not overcome Allah. Because slumber, tiredness and sleep, this is an absolute deficiency when it comes to the divine nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we glorify Allah above any type of deficiency. The second type of deficiency is a deficiency in His perfection. So the kamal which Allah has, we say the perfection of Allah is so complete that that perfection does not have any deficiency in it. Meaning, there is a person, for example, who is very tolerant. And he is patient upon the people. But there's a certain limit to his tolerance. And there's a certain limit to his patience. And that person, he won't get angry for a long time. He remains patient, he tolerates. But when it goes above that line, then his anger will come out. Or a person, for example, he's kind and merciful. And he's very kind and merciful. He's very generous. But if somebody, let's say, mocks him, then there's that limit. And now his generosity, it is deficient. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in his perfection, there's no deficiency. And then the third type of deficiency is that nothing is equal or comparable to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every mumathala, every type of comparison or anything being equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّا Do you know anything which is equal to Allah? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing equal to Allah. So these are the three types of deficiencies we glorify Allah. An absolute deficiency like weakness and sleep and slumber and so on and inability, or a deficiency in his perfection, or a deficiency in that there are other people who are comparable or equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as for Rabbi, subhana Rabbi, then Rabbi means my Lord. It's translated as being my Lord. The meaning of Rabb is the one who is described with al-khalq al-mutlaq, absolute creation, wal-mulk al-mutlaq, an absolute ownership, wal-tadbir al-mutlaq, an absolute control. This is the meaning of al-Rabb. So when somebody has these three attributes of creation and sustenance and ownership and control, then he is known as being Rabb. And this word Rabb, it can be given to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not absolutely. So for example, we say, Fulan Rabbul Bayt. That so and so, he's Rabbul Bayt, meaning the owner of this house. He looks after the house, it's his possession, he owns it, he controls it. Fulan Rabbul Siyara. So and so, he's the Rabb of this car, meaning it's his car, it's his possession. He controls it how he wants. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's Ar-Rabb with Alif Lam, meaning the Rabb. He's Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all of creation and all of the worlds. And the reason why we say Ar-Rabb is the one who is described with Al-Khalq Al-Mutlaq, a complete creation, is because there are others besides Allah who create. And there are other besides Allah who are also Malik, they own and they control. But Al-Mutlaq, it means absolute. So absolute creation is for Allah, and absolute ownership is for Allah, and absolute control is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rabb is the one who possesses these attributes of Al-Khalq, Wal-Mulk, Wal-Tadbir, Wal-Rizq, and so on and so forth. For this reason, when the ulama define Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, this word Rububiyyah is taken from Rabb. They say, Ifradullahi bil khalq wal mulk wal tadbir. That it is to single out Allah in that He is the creator and He is the owner and He is the controller. We say, Subhana Rabbi al azim. Glorified is Allah above any type of imperfection, deficiency. Rabbi, my Lord, al azim. And al azim, this is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the beautiful names of Allah, Jalla fil ula. The meaning of al azim is Dhul Azama, the one who possesses complete Azama. So Azim is taken from this word Azama. And Azama, it is a word which contains every type of greatness and magnificence. So the ulama, when they define Al Azama, they say it is Al Izz, it is honor, Al Majd, being of an exalted nature, and being majestic, and so on and so forth. So this is the meaning of Al-Azim. In English, it's translated as the greatest, or sometimes the magnificent, but it contains every attribute of greatness, like honor, like veneration, like majesty, like being exalted, and so on and so forth. So this is the first type of tasbih we make, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. To say it once is wajib. To say it three times is adna al-kamal, the minimum level of perfection. Saying it more than three times is more perfection. And then the second type is Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdihi. A person can also say Subhana Rabbiyal Azim wa bihamdihi. I towards the end, you add wa bihamdihi. And bihamdihi is from the word hamd. And hamd, it is wasful mahmud bil kamal mahabbatan wa ta'zima. That you are describing Allah with perfection out of your love for Him, your mahabba, your love for Him, and ta'zim, and out of you exalting Him. So when you say subhana, you are freeing Allah from imperfection. And when you say wa bihamdihi, you are affirming perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever in a statement you negate something and you affirm something, this is most complete and most perfect. And for this reason, when we say La ilaha illallah, first we're negating La ilah, worship of any other deity. And then we affirm illallah, your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, similar to it is Subhana Rabbil Azim. When you say Subhana, you negate from Allah every deficiency and imperfection, and then you affirm for Allah every type of perfection. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his normal practice, is whenever he would ascend, if he was going up a mountain, then he would say Allahu Akbar, he would make takbir. And whenever he was descending, like descending into a valley, then he would make at-tasbih. And perhaps from this meaning is that when a person goes into ruku' and he's descending, he's saying Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. And when he goes even lower and he goes into sujood, then he says Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make takbir when he was ascending somewhere? Why did he make tasbih when he was going down? Because when a person is ascending and he is now physically above others, he has to remember Allahu Akbar, that there is one who is greater than him. Allahu A'la, and Allah is higher than him. Allahu Ajal, Allahu Aqwa, and Allah is more mighty than him. So for this reason, when we're ascending, you could be in the car, you could be walking, stairs for example, even standing up, a person says Allahu Akbar, remembering one is more higher, regardless of how high you go. As for At-Tasbih, then usually when we descend, then often we find in the lower parts of the grounds or the valleys that there is more dust, or there is more dirt, or maybe there is impurities because it is lower. So then we remember that regardless of how low we go, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every type of imperfection and deficiency and weakness. And then after this, we come to the third tasbih, and that is Subuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati Warruh. Subuh Quddus Rabbul Malaika Warruh. And this contains three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and three attributes of His. The first name is Sabuh. So one of the names of Allah is As-Sabuh or As-Subuh. The second name is Al-Quddus. And the third name is Rabb, Rabbul Malaika wal-Ruh. The meaning of Subuh is the same as Subhan. But it is Sighat al-Mubalagha, meaning a person is emphasizing and exaggerating when you say Subuh. In the Arabic language, there are certain patterns which contain an extra emphasis of a word. So for example, Fa'al, it is more emphasis than saying Fa'il. As an example, you can say Qatil, Qatil is Fa'il. Qatil means somebody who has killed, a murderer. Or you can say Qattal, and this is Fa'al. When you say Qattal, then it's more emphasis that this person isn't only a murderer, but he's, you know, what's the word for it? Huh? More. Yeah, he's a mass murderer, serial murderer, he's a butcher, he's, you know. So, fa'al is even more. Zalim, zallam. So, zallam is an absolute tyrannical oppressor. Zalim is an oppressor. The meaning is the same, except this form, fa'al, it is more emphasized, it is greater. The same with fu'ul. Like we say, subuh. So, subuh, it is sighat al-mubalagha, it is a pattern which shows extra emphasis, extra exaggeration from the word Subhan. So when we say Subbuh, meaning he is absolutely glorified from any type of imperfection. And then the other meaning of Subbuh, so Subbuh has two meanings, either from Subhan, meaning the one who is free from every type of deficiency, or Al-Ma'bud Bit-Tasbih, that Allah is the one who is worshipped by making Tasbih of Him. Only, there's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worshipped by saying Subhanallah. And this is the worship of the angels, and also it is the worship of the humans. So one of the meanings of Subbuh is Al-Ma'bud Bit-Tasbih, i.e. the one who is worshipped by people and angels and jinn making Tasbih of Him. Then we come to Al-Quddus. And Al-Quddus is also from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a number of ayat in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah said, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ. So Al-Quddus is one of the names of Allah. The meaning of Al-Quddus is Al-Tahir Al-Mubarak, the one who is pure and the one who is blessed. From At-Taqdis. And the meaning of At-Taqdis is when somebody is sacred, when somebody cannot be approached, he's pure above others. This is the meaning of Al-Quddus, Al-Tahir Al-Mubarak. And then Rabb. And we said Rabb is Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Raziq, Al-Mudabbir, the one who creates and controls, sustains and owns. And he's Rabbul Malaika, he is the Lord of Al-Malaika. Al-Malaika, this is the plural of Al-Malak. And Al-Malak refers to the angels. Who are the angels? Alamun Ghaybi. Angels are beings from the unseen world. So they are Alamun Ghaybi, beings from the world of the unseen. We cannot see the angels. Khalaqahumullah min nur. Allah created them from light. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَ مِن نُورِ, the angels were created from light. وَخُلِقَتِ الْجَانِ مِنَ النَّارِ, and the jinn have been created from fire. وَخُلِقْتُم مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ, and you have been created from that which has been described to you, i.e. in the Quran, from soil and water and clay. So the angels are عَالَمٌ غَيْبِ, beings from the unseen. خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِن نُورِ, Allah created them from light. لا يعصون الله فيما أمرهم, they do not disobey Allah in that which He has commanded them to do. ويفعلون ما يؤمرون, and they worship Allah according to that which they have been ordered. And the ibadah of the angels is two. The angels, they make two types of ibadah. Number one is tasbih, يسبحون, and number two is السجود. These are the two types of ibadah which the angels do. So Allah is Rabbul Malaika, He is the Lord of all of the Malaika wal-Ruh. And He is the Lord of Ar-Ruh. The meaning Ar-Ruh here is Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called Jibreel alayhi salam Ar-Ruh al-Amin. Allah said, Nazala bihi Ar-Ruh al-Amin. That Ar-Ruh al-Amin, He brought it down, meaning the Quran. Jibreel alayhi salam, he has three names, or we could say four. Jibreel, Jibra'il, Ar-Ruh Al-Amin, and Ar-Ruh Al-Qudus. And Ar-Ruh Al-Amin and Ar-Ruh Al-Qudus have been, both of them have been mentioned in the Quran. In fact, even Jibreel is mentioned in the Quran, this name. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention all of the angels, and then specifically He mentioned Jibreel, even though Jibreel is from the angels? So Allah said, Lord of the angels, and Jibreel is from the angels, and then He said separately, and Jibreel. This is a style in the Arabic language that sometimes there is dhikrul khas ba'd al-aam. That sometimes something specific is mentioned after something which is more general. And this shows, Allah does this in order to praise that thing which is being mentioned specifically. So if I said, for example, all of the brothers and the tayyib. Even though Tayyib is from the brothers, but the reason why I mention him is to give him a special status. Like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Rabbul Malaika wal-Ruh, the Lord of the Malaika and Ar-Ruh, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, because Jibreel is the greatest of the angels. And then after this we come to the next tasbih, and it is Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirli. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana. Subhanaka, we said, glorified you are, O Allah, from every type of imperfection and deficiency. Rabbana, our Lord, wa bihamdika, and by your hamd. Meaning a person is saying, O Allah, it is because of your guidance, it is because of your tawfiq that I am making tasbih for you. Had it not been for your guidance, bihamdika, if it was not for your guidance and your tawfiq, and I am praising you and I show gratefulness to you, then I would not make ruku, I would not make salah, I would not make a tasbih. Allahumma ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. This is the only dua which is mentioned in the ruku. And this hadith, it is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, upon the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. So when we say wa bihamdika, by your praises, meaning you are showing gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding you to make tasbih and ruku and the salah. And then finally, Allahumma laka raka'atu wa bika amantu wa laka aslamtu khashi'a laka sam'i wa basari wa mukhi wa azmi wa asabi. And this tasbih, it was narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. Allahumma laka raka'atu. Allahumma. Allahumma, it comes from two words, Ya Allah. So the asl of this word Allahumma, it is Ya Allah. And then Ya has been taken away and a meme has been added to the end and it becomes Allahumma, O Allah. Laka raka'atu, for you I bow down. From this the ulama, they take the benefit that ruku' in of itself, it is a type of ibadah. The ruku' independently, it is a type of ibadah. And therefore, bowing your head down for a king or a leader or a parents, or for example, even in karate when they bow their heads down, that this is a form of shirk. And therefore, it isn't permitted for a person to either bow their heads down or make sujood in front of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person says, Allahumma laka raka'atu, O Allah, for you I have made a ruku. We said in the benefits of Surah Al-Fatiha, that a normal verbal sentence, it is fi'l fa'il maf'ulun bihi. The verb comes first, then the doer of the verb comes first, and then the subject comes second, and the subject comes last. So this word, it should be raka'atu laka. It should be Allahumma raka'atu laka. O Allah, I perform ruku for you, laka for you. But we say the other way around. We say laka raka'atu. We say, for you, I perform ruku. It should have been, I perform ruku for you. But it is the other way around, for you, I perform ruku. The mufassirun, they say, the ulama of Nahu as well, they say, taqdeemu ma yastahiq at-ta'khir. That bringing forward, that which should be mentioned towards the end, it gives us the benefit of al-hasr, restriction. Meaning we are restricting this action for that one. So when we say Allahumma laka raka'atu, O Allah, for you I make ruku, meaning for you and only for you and nobody else. It is restricted for you. Like we said, Iyaka na'budu. In normal Arabic we say na'budu Iyaka. That we worship you. Iyaka means you. But in the Quran we say Iyaka na'budu. So the word which should have come at the end, Iyaka, we've brought it forward because we are restricting ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same here. Allahumma laka raka'atu, O Allah, for you I perform ruku. Wa bika amantu, and in you I have iman. Wa laka aslamtu, and for you, meaning for you, for your decree, for your sharia, for your Islam, aslamtu, I have submitted myself. Khashi'a laka sam'i wa basari, my hearing and my sight, khashi'a laka. And khashi'a, khushu', it is from the word al-khudu'. And khushu' and khudu', it means complete submission. So we say, my hearing is in complete submission to you, meaning I will not listen to except that which you make halal for me. Wa khashi'a laka basari, and also my sight is in complete submission to you, meaning I will not look at except that which you permit me to look at by making it halal. And why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specify the hearing and the sight from the different senses? Because the ulama say the hearing and the sight, this is where the majority of the sins occur. The majority of the sins is either by us looking at something first or listening to something, and then it leads on to other major sins. So if a person submits his listening to Allah, so he only listens to what Allah permits him to listen to. And if a person submits his sight to that which Allah has permitted and made halal, then the rest of the body is also protected. وَمُخِّي وَعَظْمِي وَعَصَبِي. مُخ is the brain. وَالْعَظَمْ are the bones. وَالْعَصَبْ are the nerves. So in this dua we say, O Allah, لَكَ رَكَعْتُ. For you I make ruku', to you. وَبِكَ آمَنْتُ. And in you I have iman. وَلَكَ أَسْلَمْتُ. And for you I have complete submission. خَشِعَ لَكَ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي. My hearing and my sight is in complete submission to you. وَمُخِّي وَعَظْمِي وَعَصَبِي. And my brain, meaning my mind, and my bones, and my nerves, meaning all of my body, that which can be seen and that which is hidden, all of it is in complete submission to you. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ.